Thank you, Karis. That was wonderful. Often through years of ministry, I'd be getting ready to preach, and the Lord would suddenly change my mind about what I was supposed to preach. Well, that's not too abnormal in evangelism. There are many factors which I have learned God uses in a week that sometimes require a change in a message. But I didn't think that would happen as a pastor, because I've got it all planned. Matter of fact, I have ministry vision. I've got that all planned, but guess what? We're fixing a change. So we're going to look at a couple of things, and I just want to, because you know, I was thinking, as these guys were giving testimony, that we need to be reminded of what God has done. And one of the ways that we receive instruction is by hearing the testimony of others. So I just kind of want to share with you the testimony of how God brought us here. Two passages of Scripture that were vital and instrumental among many, but these are two of the main ones that God used in our lives as we began to consider coming here. And so this is more of a, just a family talk and testimony time than it really is a systematic message tonight. Just kind of sharing with you how God led us. But as you hear my testimony tonight, our family testimony about the whole process we went through to get here, I trust that will encourage you that you need to, as Andy Bonikowski said, make your plans, but keep a light grasp on them, because God has every right to change them whenever he wants to, and he often does that which we least expect. And that's the case it is with us as well. We never expected to come off the road in evangelism. I thought I'd be traveling and preaching for the rest of my time here on earth, traveling in evangelism, but always open and willing to do whatever God wanted. So we're going to look at that tonight. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 37. While I turn into Psalm 37, I do want to share with you something that happened exactly a year ago right now. Well, maybe within an hour. Those of you that were here, remember that at the end of this installation service, which was last year, that at the end of that the deacons came forward and they surrounded me down here in the front, and I kneeled down and they prayed and asked God's blessing and dedicated me and dedicated the future of this church to the Lord. I was wearing this exact outfit. I told my wife that today at lunch. I said, do you remember that I was wearing this exact outfit this time last year? Because I'm really not fashion conscious, all right? But I remember wearing this exact outfit last year, and except for one vital difference that I'll share with you in a minute. And Crystal was kind of impressed that I remembered that. And anyway, so here I am kneeling down. The major change was that I had a different pair of brown dress shoes on, and they were a little bit older, but I thought they were sound, which turned out not to be the case, because as I'm kneeling down, when I get to stand up, the toe on the sole, the front part, caught on the carpet and pulled away the stitching. And so my shoe was like this. And so every step that I would take, we'd go flap, 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 you know. So what I had to do is just kind of keep my foot like this and just kind of. And that was as I'm walking out the back, you know, and then we have the fellowship in the back and all of that. And so if you saw me looking like a wounded war vet dragging a busted leg, it was because my shoe was about to fall off. Isn't it great how God has a sense of humor? You know what he told me? He said, look, don't take this too seriously. Take the ministry seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. You're no screaming big deal. You're just my servant. I've just placed you in another venue. But let me tell you what, it's a great privilege to serve here as pastor. And every day when I walk to work, that's another blessing. God gave us a house within a quarter mile of here. My commute's about a 3 to 4 minute walk. But as I walk here almost every day, I just thank the Lord again. And I'm so amazed that God would allow us to come and minister in this capacity. Certainly, I would say, humanly speaking, there are men much more qualified than me. But when God has chosen you, then you're the most qualified one for the job at the time. This is where God's put us, and it's very clear. I want to share with you why. Look at Psalm 37. I want to share with you first my life verse, and then the verse right down from that. Psalm 37 is one of my go-to passages of Scripture. And in Psalm 37:4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so, though none of us are perfect, all of us can pursue delighting ourselves in God, spending time in prayer, showing our love to him by our obedience, digging into the Word of God and learning Christ and learning how to live for him and live in a way that pleases him. That's what it means to delight in the Lord. It means what delights our God ought to delight us. and we ought to pursue that fellowship with them on a regular basis. And the thing that ought to thrill our hearts the most and give us the most pleasure and excitement ought to be the things of Christ. Delight thyself in the Lord, and then what's the Bible say? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Why? Is that a way that you can manipulate God? No. Because you see, as you're delighting in the Lord, then you desire what God desires. God begins to change your desires to unify them with His. And God places in you those desires. Paul wrote to the Ephesians that it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Part of the reason you can know that you are in the will of God is if you are delighting in the Lord and you know He's delighting in you and you know that you have fellowship with Him, you're walking consistently with Christ. Yes, there are times, probably every day, when you have to say, Lord, forgive me, and Lord, please restore me in fellowship. I blew it. I didn't do what I should have. I did something I shouldn't have. Lord, it was a wrong attitude, a wrong heart response. But consistently, though, I am seeking to walk with Christ. And you know then that the desires, as you would then compare them with the scriptures, that God will give you a passion for an area of ministry in life. God has given you interest. He's given you talents and abilities. He's given you experience. He's given you relationships. And God puts all of those things together to fulfill you to do a ministry that you're passionate about. Whatever your vocational calling is, your calling that God has, that mission on your life, ought to be something that you desire, because you are walking with God, you delight in Him. He creates that desire. He strengthens that desire, not to frustrate you, but to fulfill you. So I can remember that when Pastor Sweat had announced his intention to retire, and news got to me, that I started praying and saying, Lord, would you please send the right pastor and family to Berean? God answered that one. But I didn't have any idea I'd be part of that answer. I said, Lord, you please guide that. It's so important for the right family, for the family, that the ministry match them, and for the church that they match together. And Lord, your man for this, whatever time period it is, for the next guy, that you would bring him and his family, and they would take Berean that next step, and that you would receive the glory, and that your church in the Atlanta area would be built. And then I get a call from one of the guys on the pastoral search committee saying, I know that you would probably never consider this, but would you think about pastoring at Berean? And so I've never, when I was in evangelism, I never outward or immediately just offhand refused to consider any invitation. And we had a number of them. Because I wanted to make sure that I was doing God's will. Because you see, God led us very clearly into evangelism, and God would have to lead us just as clearly out. And I was very fulfilled. I was living my dream. By the way, I am now living my dream as well. Because you know what? God has changed a little bit my vision and my passion for what I am doing. You say, hey, I know you haven't sold your trailer out there. Is that kind of like Plan B? No, we're trying to sell it. You want to buy a good used trailer? Let you have a good deal. Anyway, so no, we're not planning on going back in evangelism. Okay? We're planning on staying here until God moves us, and I'm praying that's a long time down the road. Unless Christ comes back in the rapture, and that'd be even better. So we were being fulfilled. And so I told this guy, I said, well, give me 2 weeks to pray about it. Because if someone needs to give you an immediate answer, if you have to give an immediate answer and you're being pressured and you're not given time to seek God's will through prayer and through biblical counsel, then you need to automatically say no. You know, my dad taught us boys when we were growing up, as far as like a business deal, that let's say you go to buy a used car or a new car, and you go to the dealership, and the sales guy says to you, hey, today only, and only for you, if you'll put the money down, I'll give you this deal. That's his walk away. No matter even if it is the best deal in all the world, walk away. You need time to pray and think and plan. Don't immediately jump on something like that. And so I didn't immediately, because I want to make sure I'm following the Lord's will. Lord, would you ever have me go out of evangelism and go into the pastorate or go out to the mission field? I am your servant. I will serve you in whatever capacity that you want me to. It doesn't have to be an evangelism. It can be whatever you want me to do. Now, you know, God, that took years for God to bring me around to that, because when I was 12 years old at the Bill Rice Ranch, my dad and Dr. Paul Levine were preaching. God got a hold of my heart that he was going to call me to the preaching ministry someday, and at least I need to be willing to do that. And so in the campground that they have there at the ranch for RVs, I went out there and there was one spot kind of in the middle where there was no trailers around, huge, big old cedar tree. And I knelt down under that cedar tree and I said, Lord, I am willing to go in the full-time preaching ministry. I will be a missionary. I'll be a youth pastor. I'll be an evangelist. But please don't ever ask me to be a pastor. I don't know why I didn't want to be a pastor. But God finally worked me over to the point where when God called me to preach, I was willing to even be a pastor. So I said, let me pray about it. And they said, okay. And so we prayed for 2 weeks about it. And then they said, we're heading up to Greenville from Lilburn, heading up to Bob Jones, passing through. Can we just stop and talk over lunch? Meet you and Krista for lunch. Sure. So we met for lunch. And on the way up, Krista and I said, well, you know, God's done this before. And we've prayed about it. We've been willing to listen. But I think this is just another one of those, make sure God's saying, hey, I just want you to be sure in your heart that you're not just comfortable or doing what you want to do for the rest of your life, but you truly are willing to follow my plan for you, whatever that may be. So he said, you know what? I'm just going to tell him what the burden for the last 3 years that I've had to help pastors and churches. And if I were ever going to pastor, here are some things that I would want to pursue and I would want to do. And when they hear that, I'll scare them off so bad. we won't be able to see him for the dust. So I really just think that this is a test that the Lord just wants us to be willing. And probably out of this meeting, this will probably be the end of it, but we'll just see. So we went in there and we sat down and we talked. And the more we began to talk with them and hear from them, the more excited both of us began to get about the possibility of this. But we said, so they said, would you fill out the initial one-page kind of questionnaire? We want to make sure, you know, it's basic doctrines and some other things, ministry philosophy. We said, well, give us 2 weeks to pray about it. And so we prayed about it, and I sought godly counsel, not only from my dad, but from fellow evangelists and from other pastors that I've ministered to over the years, whose counsel I greatly treasure. And so I prayed, I searched the scriptures, Krista and I searched the scriptures, and we prayed about it, and God gave me Psalm 37, and look at it if you would with me in verse 23. Psalm 37, 23, here's the instruction God began to give me. The steps of a good man are what? They're ordered by the Lord, and God delighteth in the man's way. So we began to take that verse in reverse and say, Lord, do you delight in our way? We want to delight in you. We want to be pleasing to you. Is our ministry pleasing to you? Are our personal lives, are we right with you? Are we walking in godly integrity before you? Are there things in our lives that would be causing us to want something in our flesh or to have a skewed discernment because we're not really completely walking with Christ? Are you really, Lord, delighting in our way? Do you delight in our family? Are you delighting in our present ministry? Because we want your guidance. And so we began to go through that prayerful process and evaluation. And then God gave me the first part as well. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so we said, Lord, give us clearly the green light for every step. And so at the end of that first 2 weeks, when they said, we're coming up to Greenville, can we have lunch? We'd already prayed 2 weeks and we said yes. After that, they asked us, would you do the one-page little informal survey? And we said, give us 2 weeks and let's pray about it. Why? I wanted to keep taking it in steps. I wanted to make sure the Lord was giving every step of the way. Well, then it comes around to May and we fly down here to meet with the Pastoral Search Committee. And spent a couple of days with the Pastoral Search Committee and talking with them. And actually, we had that videotaped so that it could be shown to the deacons. And we prayed about that. And then we flew back. And they asked us, well, we've prayed. Would you fill out the exhaustive survey? And it was exhausting because it was a soul-searching 14-page questionnaire. Very thorough, and I appreciate the thoroughness, by the way. But it was one of those that was very soul-searching, so Chris and I began to pray, should we do that? And I can remember, we were at Twin Streams Campground in Pennsylvania, and one morning, Chris and I went out running. And we ran separately because she runs too fast for me. And she went running, and she was listening to a message on sermon audio. I had read this passage, Exodus 14, you can turn there. I had read Exodus 14 in my devotions, and God began to do a work in my heart because I told Krista, I said, if we believe God wants us to fill out this 14-page survey, I just really sense in my spirit there's no turning back, that we're going to send that in, and if they're going to be in agreement with that, then we have committed. If you're in agreement and if you like that and you ask us to come talk to the deacons and then come down to candidate, that just kind of one of those things where there's no turning back. And so we still want to take it one step at a time, but things are getting really serious here. And so we were fervently in prayer about this. Krista's out running, listening to Jim Shetler preach a message from Exodus 14 and share how God worked. And it's very interesting. I won't take the time now, but the exact amount of time that they were a pastorate down at the campus church and then moved out is the amount of time that we were in evangelism. And some of the circumstances surrounding their move were very similar to ours. And I'd already been reading this in my devotions, and God had given me something. I'm running and meditating on the scriptures, as I often do when I go running, meditating on my devotions. And at the end, I said, Krista, we got to talk right now. So we're doing our cool down stretching outside the trailer, and then we sat down at the picnic table, and I said, ladies first. And she began to share with me some of the things from Exodus 14, some of that message that God really worked in her heart. And then I shared with her some things that we could see that God was working together in our lives, even in those parallel moments, that we should be ready to take the next step if we were invited to. So look with me at this story. I'll set the stage for you. This is right when Israel has been freed from slavery and they come out of Egypt, and it's before they cross the Red Sea, and God is very specific where he wants them to go. And geographically, they were in a place where they were hemmed in. They were trapped. Word gets back to Pharaoh that Israel is at this particular spot. And he says, man, why did I let all that free slave labor go? I'm going to go out there and get them. And so he gets 600 of his choice chariots, and he takes his army, and he begins to pursue the children of Israel. And we get down to about verse 10, and the Bible says, and when Pharaoh drew near the children of Israel, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They were panicking. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. This was going to be a major step in Israel's history. It was a major work that God was going to do. And the children of Israel did have a right to be concerned, because here comes the enemy, and they were not quite sure what God was doing. And you know, God was doing a major, this is going to majorly affect our family. This is going to majorly affect this church, the decision that is made whether we would come here or not in the role of pastor's family. And while we didn't panic, because our trust is in the Lord, we are pursuing his will, yet we were concerned that we would be right in biblical in making the right decision for our family and for Berean, and that we would not miss God's leading. And then look what the Bible says in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. It's almost as if Moses is saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. I said, the Lord will fight for you. You know, if he's cueing the Lord. And the Lord says, why are you still crying out to me? Tell the people to move forward. Now, had Moses yet lifted up his rod over the Red Sea? Were the waters parted yet? No. And there was only one way they could go, and that's towards the Red Sea. But Moses just bragged on God and said, the Lord's going to fight for you. God's going to deliver you. You're not going to see these Egyptians anymore forever. So go forward, God says. And at that point, we realized, you know what? We've been praying. We've been seeking God's face. We've been seeking biblical counsel. God has been leading us in these steps very clearly. Should the deacons and pastoral search committee not have any problems with the 14-page exhaustive questionnaire, then we will know that we are to keep taking the steps as we are invited. And if at any time not, then great. We're still serving the Lord in full-time evangelism, and we'll take that as from the Lord, and we'll keep serving. We will be content whatever God has for us. We just want to make sure we're seeing God's will accomplished. So one of the things that I had Chris to do, as I said, now, it would not be right for us. We could not have the blessing of God. He would not delight in our way if there was in any way we were trying to influence the thinking of and discernment of the deacons and pastoral search committee by our answers on this survey. Because there were some very personal questions in there, ministry-wise and just personally. And so I said, Krista, sit here right beside me. And every answer I fill out, I want you to confirm it. And if you are not in complete agreement with it, you tell me why. And we will pray through it and discuss it so that we are absolutely transparent. If there's any dishonesty in here, then how can God be delighting in our way? And we'll always look back. And we'll be unsure whether God really led us here or whether we kind of manipulated things and this was really not maybe what God had. Because, you know, no matter what ministry you're in, Satan's always going to try to get you to doubt. We've had a great first year, have we not? But what if some tragedy strikes our church or our area? Or what if something drastic happens in our church this next year? Is God still faithful? Has God called me here? Absolutely. Has God ordained this church? Yes, and this is his church, not mine. But Satan's might try to rattle you or me to cause us to freeze with fear and try to cause just enough doubt to keep us from doing what's right and wonder, did God want us here or not? So I knew that if I filled that out completely, clearly, to the best of my knowledge, seeking God's will, obeying his word, not violating any principles of scripture, listening to godly counsel, and our family being in agreement, then whatever happened, I believe, was God's ordained guidance for our family and for this church. So we filled it out, sent it in, prayed over it, and then we came down again, and we met with the deacons and deacons' wives. And then we came, we candidated. And the rest, as they say, is history. And here we are. In the same way that we made that decision, we need to make all of our decisions in life. Moms and dads, that's how you need to seek counsel as you lead your children. Husbands and wives, that's how you need to make decisions as a couple. That's how this church, by God's grace, will seek for God's will. Not according to our fantastic ideas that we get all excited about or by what other churches are doing to see success, but by what God's word dictates. And as God puts a vision and a passion in our heart according to the scriptures, and how do I know that that this is a ministry vision from God, that the different things that we are seeking to accomplish are from him and not just our ideas or whims? It is because it is through careful prayer and study of the word that these things begin to come out, and we begin to get excited because we see these things in the pages of scripture and we understand that this is the way that we need to do God's work. And we get excited about the thoughts that God puts into our heart and mind, and we begin to look around to see, well, how can we interpret that in a practical way and do that in this community? And then even as we begin to start some of these things, we want to make sure that we are going according to biblical principle and guidelines, not violating scripture in any area. Seeking not just to make sure that we're doing the right thing, but doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way. And so that's how God led us here. And we're very thankful that he did. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And what God did for us, God can do for you and your family. And that's how God can guide you. And so let me encourage you, even to take some time, read back through Psalm 37, read back through Exodus chapter 14. Meditate on these things. Spend time in prayer. Take things one step at a time. Seek godly counsel. I had some wonderful encouragement, had some great wisdom that's far beyond what I would have seen had I not asked for some other perspectives by godly men who I know love the Lord, who are experienced in his word, that have some great practical wisdom that could give us a great perspective and some biblical counsel. And I think that we need to do maybe a little bit more often about more things than we often do. So that's how God has led, and we are very grateful for that. It is our desire, as Paul said, to be your servant for Jesus' sake. We are here to serve you. Our desire is to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to make disciples. That comes through evangelizing the lost, grounding believers in solid doctrine, equipping believers and training them for doing ministry, and then doing that together and building unity within the body of Christ, being a shining light of the gospel in this community and being a boot camp for believers for God's glory, for His testimony. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to thank the Lord for our refreshments, and then we're going to be dismissed and have some fellowship back in the Sweat Ministry Center. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Lord, I want to stop and just thank you for the way that you led Pastor and Mrs. Sweat to come here and to be instrumental in Berean Baptist Church getting started, for their faithfulness to follow your word through these 27 years, their faithful walk with you and in leading this church and evangelizing the lost and in maturing believers, equipping the saints, training leadership. Oh Lord, may we continue that. The methods may look a little different, though they must be biblical and ethical. Those things may appear a little different. But Lord, the foundational truths and the principles of the Word of God and the ministry philosophy that was here, we're not going to compromise or change. But we are going to do your work in a way that is pleasing to you. Help us to be careful to pursue your truth, to delight in you, knowing that you will guide us step by step. And I think of the words of Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., the right steps or the right path leads out to the right place. Lord, help us to take every day the right steps along the path so one day we can look back and see how you led us and how you led us on the right path and kept us out of dangerous side paths. Lord, thank you for our church family that's assembled here tonight. For those who cannot be with us, we pray that you would encourage and comfort them. Heal those who are sick and unable to be here. For those who are away traveling on business or other things, keep them safe and encourage them and protect them from temptation. And Lord, for our church folks who are here tonight, now bless the food that we're about to receive to our bodies and refresh our spirits with the fellowship. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in the wonderful work that you have done. It is not through my wisdom or Krista's or the deacons or the pastoral search committee, but Lord, it is through your wisdom and your guidance. Yes, we are responsible to make right choices according to your word and to do things carefully, to do things decently and in order. And we thank you for that. But Lord, in the end, when it's all summed up, it is because you guided so clearly. You ordained this. Lord, help us to be convinced of that. And then as a team, no matter what we face, help us to fight the devil for the souls of men. Help us to train and to go after Christians who are maybe backsliding. Help us, Lord, to equip and encourage and strengthen believers who need that. And may we continually, together, shoulder to shoulder, march in your army for your cause to bring you glory. So that someday, Lord, when we stand before you individually and we stand before you in a sense as a church, as I as pastor have to give an account for the souls of these, that we'd be able to hear from the good shepherd, from our Savior, Well done, good and faithful servants. Lord, bless our fellowship now tonight. Dismiss us with your blessing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing a chorus, Pastor Finch, and then as soon as the chorus is done,